It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Long before it was known as the Steel City, Pittsburgh was the Steamboat City. Among the majestic boats built in the area was a steamboat called the Arabia, completed in 1853. But just 3 years later, in 1856, while traveling along the Missouri River, a submerged walnut tree impaled the Arabia. The boat sank within minutes and settled into the mud of the Missouri River. The 130 passengers aboard were all ferried safely to land before the vessel was submerged in the river, where it remained for 136 years. So how did a perfectly preserved time capsule of 19th century history wind up being discovered in a Kansas cornfield? I'm joined now by Leslie Sibilic. She is lead curator for the Treasures of the Arabia exhibit at the Senator John Hines History Center, which just opened over the weekend. Leslie Sibilic, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, thank you. It's so great to be here, and we are so thrilled to be sharing this story with Pittsburgh audiences.
Well, one of the more fascinating things about this exhibit is all of the things that were preserved as a result of the steamboat being submerged. What are some of the items on display that were taken right off the boat after it was rediscovered?
It runs a wide gamut. There are clothing items, men's shirts, felt hats. There are personal items, china plates, coffee pots, things like that. There's a lot of tinware. There are hair brushes that still have some of the original bristles on them. There will even be a couple of pieces that feature some of the objects that had real food that was still left in containers.
Did I hear right that some of you guys down there were eating some of the food?
Well, yes, you heard a part of that story right. It wasn't us down at the History Center who were brave enough to eat that. Over the past weekend for the opening, we had the unique opportunity of having the family members and some of the partners who helped dig up the boat originally. And one of these couples works in the restaurant business in Independence, Missouri, and as one of the other family members said, those restaurant people will eat anything. And when they originally excavated some of the material, among the objects they found were bottles of pickles that were still there. The way that these materials are buried, the seal on the bottles had not been broken. One of the bottles ended up getting opened, and one of the members of the excavation crew actually tried a pickle.
A 136-year-old pickle.
He said that, the texture was a little bit grainy, a little bit mushy, but that it tasted good. And as the other family member said, he's still with us here. So it wasn't.
Glad to hear that. Yeah. So where did the Arabia end up? As I mentioned, in a Kansas cornfield, how can that be?
Well, what happened was when the boat originally sunk, it didn't just sink in the river. It sank in about 12 to 15 feet of water. So literally, when the boat first sunk, it was resting on the bottom, and pieces of the boat were visible above the river. And Dave Hawley really explained it best. He kind of described it best over the weekend.
Well, we actually have a clip. So you just set it up perfectly. Why don't we listen to David Hawley, co-founder of the Arabia Steamboat Museum in Kansas? He is the guy who looked for and found the Arabia and was involved in the excavating of it. And he explains how he located and recovered the Arabia.
I read about it in a newspaper. The newspaper was an 1856 printing. It said the boat was coming from St. Louis, loaded with over 200 tons of freight. It hit a tree near Kansas City, and it sank. They said it was a large and valuable cargo and that no lives were lost. It said that it sank a mile from Parkville. Parkville is a little town near Kansas City. So I gathered up old maps of the river and came down a mile from Parkville, drew the old maps onto new maps because the Missouri River is notorious for changing its course, and began with a metal detector walking back and forth in a fellow's farm, and eventually walked on top of a spot that had enormous amount of metal underground. And assuming that to be the boat, brought out a drill rig and test drilled and began to hit wood deep underground. And within a few days, we knew that was the boat and that's where it lay.
And there you have it. Interesting how there it was under a cornfield.
In what became a cornfield. As Dave mentions, the Missouri River is notoriously fickle. It used to change its course. Today, it's much more of a controlled river. But at the time, after the boat sank, it literally didn't just sink into the water. It sank really into the muddy bottom of the river. And over time, as the river channel shifted, And the Missouri has shifted so much that people that at one point were on the Missouri side ended up in Kansas and vice versa. And it ended up in what was part of the old river channel, but the old river channel was under what had become a cornfield. So the boat, one of the crucial details is that the boat was still under the water table. So while it was under the ground and under this cornfield, it was also still in water, which is partially what helped to preserve the objects that were on the boat. Imagine it almost as the equivalent of being in stasis. They were cold. It was a very consistent climate. Water, as part of the chemical process, you know, water helped to kind of preserve these things in a sense. And so by the time someone truly found this material and dug it up, there were things that were in a remarkable state of preservation.
And so, and there they are in this exhibit. What reactions have you gotten from the people who came to the opening of the exhibit over the weekend to the items on display?
I think both amazement at the items themselves, a real, and not just amazement of, oh, wow, I mean, that's certainly part of it, but also this sense that you're almost able to go back and truly touch the past. You know, one of the brothers who excavated the boat said it was like digging up and touching a piece of the pioneers, a piece of their history. And you look at this material and you know that the last time someone truly saw this, they were waiting for these packages in 1856. I think there's also the story that is the amazement of the family themselves. I mean, you hear that clip from David Hawley, and he's so matter-of-fact about it. It sounds like he's charting their family vacation. And how many people would have had that conversation about, hey, you know, I heard about this boat. We're looking at these maps. We're sitting at our dining room table. And how many people would have gone that next step and actually committed the family to digging up the boat? And then, probably just as remarkable, keeping the collection intact and preserving it as one museum. Truly extraordinary on multiple levels.
Do you have a favorite item that's been unearthed that's now on display?
Oh, you know, there are so many pieces. I think to me personally, they're not maybe the most dramatic pieces. I love the boots and the hats. And I think to me they're so appealing because as they're standing there in a row, you can almost envision the people standing there with them. You see the difference of sizes. There are shoes for children and women as well. I mean, at the time this material is going out there, it wasn't really just men. It was families. And in fact, the passengers on the Arabia, it was more women and children who were going to meet husbands and fathers, people who had already been going out there to establish homesteads. And so for me, it's some of those objects that really connect us to the people. And then there's also some really beautiful smaller things as well. Jewelry, wonderful earrings, and some other images and objects that you think, wow, I just didn't know someone would have that in 1856.
We've been talking with Leslie Sibilic. She is lead curator for the Treasures of the Arabia exhibit at the Senator John Hines History Center. It just opened over the weekend. It continues till when?
It will be up through the beginning of January.
Great. Looking forward to getting over there and seeing some of those items. Leslie, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We'll see you tomorrow.